I will read from some old poems as well. One of them, nobody knows that I walked in Boulder at night. Some people, they try to use certain terms and concepts and maybe names of places and people, and they take them for granted, and they don't think about their own repercussions. What may this usage result in? So I wrote this poem when I've been listening to people talking about Gaza and so on, Palestine and so on, and I wrote this poem, which also has also been published at Expat's Poetry a week ago. It's called The Significance of Your Name. Your name should not be used as a rhetorical strategy in the act of gratuitous signifying. Love is dead in man every day. Gaza holds a centennial mourning of a holy war that will never cease. I just realized only today your name should not be used as a thematic component in the fraud of a political farce that threatens to outlive all the domes. Your name should not be used as a vehicle for liberation by those ensconced in lofty chairs. Your name, your name, your name, and the act of signifying should not be equivocally understood. Your name, your name, your name, Billie Holiday lament somewhere, should not be gratuitously used to compensate for a deliberate loss in incidents of symbolic irrelevance. Your name should not be frequently pronounced as a sexless danger tool in the narration of unnecessary war. Your name should be saved for the last unexpected moment when intimate relations fail to bring a dim consoling light in an early November darker night. Your name should be used to embalm the rotten wounds of late-night desolate refugees, to blend the symphony of moaning out of uncontrolled high-pitched laughs, to engage the strained voice of the indifferent, to bring the onlookers to feel the beat, the impulse, the flutter of an agonizing resistant. Your name should be displaced from a land that is disgraced by its pretentious first dwellers. Your name is not a standardized handkerchief for anomalous, insipid historical patience. Your name should extol every bereaved soul. Mm. Wow. Yeah. Okay, and this other poem is political, maybe politically in a way. I wrote it thinking about revolution, thinking about what's going on in Morocco, the 20 February movement, youth movement in Morocco, and how I was not able to join in the like protests or whatever, taking time because I am a teacher, someone who is supposed to work within the limits and boundaries of an official institution. So I wrote this poem, I shall not dwell in memoriam of anything. It has been published by Redius. In such times of wretchedness as these, I would rather huddle with my brothers, many unknown dear sisters. I would not watch from an attic window, waiting for another late-time Godot to save the world from the peacocks. I would not shed idle tears of a forsaken monk. My heart will always swell, proud of that day it reaches its brow. I will flash like a shimmering sunshine, breaking free from any leash to Rubinstein. Behold, the whole world threatens to retreat not to snug closets of a nouveau-ish suburban villa, but to a secluded grave forged by glory. The song will be sung and we shall all overcome the day we come to shatter to 1,001 pieces the mirrors of a sinking, ageless emperor. So, yes, this I wrote this poem also, I think in a way, thinking about, again, the relationship between the East and the West. And it has been published by Big Bridge Magazine in Santa Rosa. as part of my contribution to the anthology, I also did Contemporary Moroccan Poets, published by Big Bridge magazine. So the poem is called When Eve Sits to Read Milton. In the most insecure moments of a life that went astray, one only evokes a past memory to amend a heart surprised by sin. Yet, when Eve sits to read Milton, she never thinks of a revisited sin. Beatitude simply blinds her earthly eyes. Adam himself stood still in the rain when Eliu transfixed him in her bed, waiting for Jesus to seal untouched water. There is something that hovers over the shadow of my stature endlessly. It could be the end of my torment. Nothing is canonized for eternity on the face of a pure, cloudless water than the name of an unforgiving sinner. He could walk alone just as a Jew for 40 years, accompanied by dew, yet nothing is perpetually determined. He could just rest as a dormant in the valley. I still have more time, I think. Okay, I would like to read my latest beat poems. Okay, the ones I wrote while traveling in the States. Okay, I would start by reading Kerouacan Epiphanies in Portland Greyhound bus station. So I wrote this, I ended up like walking for the whole night. I put my things in a locker in Portland Greyhound bus station. And I went for a walk for the whole night with an African-American woman, 64 years old, who happened to be there. I thought she was waiting for her bus, but I discovered that she is a homeless, 64 years old, four bags, walking all night long, talking about Morocco, teaching, teacher, what are you doing here? The beats, I've been a blues spiritual pianist, and we had this long discussion all night long until 6 o'clock in the morning. And then we met again at 9 in the bus station, and she took some of her stuff. She changed her clothes in the restrooms, and she got back. So all these things are part of this poem I wrote. So Kerouacan Epiphanies in Portland Greyhound bus station. It seems that the inception of a sentimental state is unchangeably similar. Dear clients, I shall seize the opportunity to canalize these feelings, especially to those sitting somewhere on a bus station benches. Unexpectedly waiting for trains or buses bound to nowhere, I would like to desperately inform you, I reckon I have never visited Finland. Actually, I probably never should visit Finland, since it is a place I love so much on paperbacks I bought from Paul's books with my working class dimes. It turned out I am visiting 21st century American dream. Now that I'm sitting in this Greyhound bus station, not because I'm expecting a girlfriend's heart to revisit, not because I am picking up my grandmother's leather suitcases, not because I am bound to meet a Rockefeller businessman, not because I am solitarily taking 8:30 train to Eugene, it is because I whimsically remember Jack in his French beret. It is because 50s-style Cadillac car smoke gets into my myopic eyes. It is because my ears picked Born to be Wild on the entrance to Portland Central Station. That is because I imagined again Jack's mother weeping in front of her Madonna icons. That is because I ventured into the epiphanies of the varieties of religious experience. It is in Portland where everybody leisurely rode their fanciful organic bikes. In Portland where the deer leap and trips through when you plant roses. In Portland where blonde girls walk in their vegan underwear late in the evening. In Portland where gays and lesbians read their battered copies of Gender Trouble. in Portland, where Columbia and Willamette rivers erotically confluence. In Portland, where nouveau riche American couples have two types of tap waters. I walked in distress in Portland. I walked in distress when I saw old and young homeless pass out on hard floors. What would Kerouac say in this postmodern Greyhound bus station? Shall he say again, the floors of bus stations are the same all over the country? Shall he say again, they're always covered with butts and spit? Shall he say again, they give a feeling of sadness that only bus stations have? Shall he say again, the trip was an ordinary bus trip with crying babies and hot sun? I shall not dwell in memoriam of anything celebrating funhouse mirror reflection of Portlandia. I shall not join Portlandia's cage-free, organic and fresh satires on Mississippi Avenue. I shall let the road unfold in a series of joyful epiphanies in truck stops, Greyhound bus station. I shall stare through the early evening windows of jazz. This shall be my love letter to the great American landscapes I lived in Iowa, Ohio, and Indiana. I shall be too busy for feeling love relationships crumples. I shall just allow my muscles a space to twitch, to live the ragged joy and go. I shall just sit in the Greyhound bus station and think everything over. And because I almost fell in love with someone who thought she fell in love with Rambo, I wrote another poem about this experience. It's called To the Girl, or For the Girl Who Thought She Fell in Love with Rambo. I have no other existential cures save from Armageddon for you to feed your obnoxious Buddhist creed on. I have no post-apocalyptic memories from Charleville to leash your middle-aged severe concussions. I have no Gogolian overcoats to occasionally lend you to walk the half-deserted moonlit nights of Portland. To the girl who thought she fell in love with Rambo, I cannot amortize my humanistic love emotions. I'm afraid my heart is not lendable in such times. I can only afford provisional cohabitation patents. I am sensitive to financial consequences of American relationships. My conception of love and romance is provisional. Do you remember Rambo's confessions in Romance? You're not serious, he says. You're not serious when you are 17. I shall venture to say in my new postmodern romance, you're not serious when you are in your 30s. You shall be tired, he says. You shall be tired of beers and lemonade one fine evening. You shall be tired of noisy cafes with their dazzling gleam. To the girl who thought she fell in love with Rambo, forgive me, I am not your vegan stepping stone. I cannot empathize with the gleam of a quivering match. I cannot trust the ephemeral gleam of your green eyes. I doubt the gleam of a flashlight in the distance on a cold night. I can only embrace a fugacious gleam of hope with intermittence. And yet, I love postmodern simulacrum of Rambo. I am a particle of a Rambo you failed to embrace with your senses. I love every form of love, of suffering, of madness. I am his lost penumbras that search for a constant self. I consume all the poisons in me to keep their quintessences. I live on a strict budget made of large holiday salary bonuses to save sufficient money to buy the new Gogolian overcoat, while I know that politics is a mere simulacrum that bears no relation to any internal version of reality. And this one is for Seattle. Okay. And it has been inspired by Mohammed Shoukry, who is a Moroccan novelist. He wrote for Khubz al-Hafi, which is has been translated by Paul Bowles as For Bread Alone. Okay. A requiem for Tangier's love memories in Seattle. Good morning, engaged northwest night owls. Good morning, summertime early birds. Good morning, Tangier's narrow lanes embedded in a mercurial time. Here I am again, back from the other side to explore the remaining crevices. Through late evening, overcrowded streets of Seattle. Through what I scarcely remember about my past life. Through what I weave unconsciously about my present life. Just like a disposed passe-mur somnambulist wandering Baghdad's 1001 nights. Nothing seems to come to my rescue, not even the phantasms of magpies I lift at Shambhala Mountain Center, not even late July robins I kissed in Altoona prairies. My only solace grows in words, hallucinations, and scars that no words can heal. How does my life unfold in this discursive Isfahan carpet that I weave? Alone I embrace the fragments of evenings up and down Seattle Hills. Adventure, excitement creeps inside me with the Eid al-Fitr memories. It revives ashes of southern embers, rendering them tunic, transparent, captivating, and glowing. I crave the release of a form that does not ruminate. I am waiting for the release of a girlish heart that does not deceive when unexpectedly sun rays blaze over the tops of Mount Rainier. I shall say my word before you die. It will eventually find its path to another broken-hearted. What memories I have of you, my two-year Don Juan love. Now that I pray in my dreams to Mount Rainier at dawn, it will arouse a passion, a sadness, or a sleeping caprice. It will set a red wasteland on fire. Oh, engaged northwest night owls. Oh, summertime early birds. Oh, optimistic and pessimistic wanderers. Oh, rebellious jazz players. Oh, adolescent American post-capitalist bums. Oh, wise man of 50 indivisible political entities. The fatal game of time is stronger than all of our pretensions. We shall confront it with our actual living of the death that precedes our death, our mortification. We shall dance on its ropes as it plays its bluegrass notes. Since my heart cannot venture into Gates, Allen, and Bezos' back streets, I shall only sing my requiem sealed with a kiss. He brings the living from the dead. He brings the living from the stinking composing. He brings the living from the stuffed and beat. He brings the living from starving oval mouths. He brings the living from the marrow of those who live on bread alone.
Habib Luai, thank you very much. Okay, we're going to take a 15-minute break. Smoke if you got them. Don't smoke if you don't smoke. Come back in 15 minutes. We'll hear a song from Jed, and we'll get back to open mic. Thank you. All right.